All right. How many of you are having a great year so far? All right. That's good to hear. I like those things, but it's like, let me just tell you something. Last week we talked about our word, right? I did mine, and I said my word is focus. And guess what I've done all week? Everything but. It's like you have those other things, and you state something that you're going to do something. You're going to make a commitment to a resolution, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to go to the gym every day. Nothing happens. You never go to the gym. Or you go to the gym, and you don't get anything done that you want to do. And so it's one of those things, and that's how it's been this week. And so when I came in here this morning, it was like, what am I going to talk about? And Barry, he says, what are you going to talk about? I said, I have no idea. You know, I really have no idea. And going into bed last night, it was like, I really had no idea. And guess what? I still have no idea exactly. But I got a bunch of scriptures on paper, and so I had them on there. And I thought, okay, well, we're just going to run with these and see what God does with them. And we'll go that route. But last week, I want to ask a question. Last week, we talked about your word. Remember the one word we have that runs our life? Mine was focus. And who else has their word? Anybody? Summer?
I do.
You do? Okay. What is it?
Strength.
Good. That's a good word. I like that. If I didn't have focus, I'd probably use that. Okay. Anybody else have the word they want to share? No? But this is what we do. The word helps us. And many times this week, I've used it actually, because I would say, okay, focus. And I would for a minute. And then it would be like, oh, look, there's snow outside. You know, something like that. Or things just got in the way.
I don't want to say it out loud because then you're accountable. And like, all week long, I've been like, I have my word, but the plan goes way over there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, Satan, I have a word.
Yeah. Well, but the thing, okay. Well, let me read this first scripture. It's Isaiah 43:19. And it's the first part of this, and it says, see, I am doing a new thing. Well, we've got new words that are helping our line. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Okay, that's the part I want to focus on. Okay? And it says, I'm making a way in the desert, streams in the wasteland. But do you perceive it? I'm doing something new. Now, that in other scriptures is translated, do you know it? Do you recognize it? I'm doing something. Are you catching a clue in what's going on? But it says, do you know it? Now, if you know much about scriptures, you know that when it talks about a husband and wife having relations with each other, Adam knew Eve. There was intimacy. There was involvement. There was a connection. And what God's saying is, I'm doing something new. Are you tuning into it? Are you becoming intimate with me in this? Is it becoming a part of your life? You know, and I thought, okay, well, that kind of applies to the word. Am I making the word part of my life? And the thing of it is, there's it's there. We know, but the trouble is, we know that we're going to have trouble. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, if somebody's told you that you're never going to have any problems in your life, you're never going to have anything happen in your life, you're never going to raise any conflict, they're lying. They're leaving out part of the scripture. I mean, even scripture says, in this world you will have
trouble.
You will have troubles. Because Satan wants to mess up your life. Like I said, all week long, throwing things at me. Kelsey comes in this morning, and she wants to put the bulletin together, and it's like, yeah, all right. Check back with me at 10 to 11. You know? But then I had these scriptures, and I just thought, okay, I got to go with those. I got to trust God that God's doing a new thing, and God's doing something. And so I had them actually done by 10 after 10. And Kelsey went, what? What are you doing, Harriet? So we're doing something in our lives. And God is giving us new things to do all the time. And I thought about that for a while. And it's like, all the time, do you do exactly the same things you do now that you did 5 years ago? You don't do the same things. You're doing something different, something new. And that's what God wants you to do. And you're going to run into problems. That's called life. And we don't like it because we want it to be nice and harmonious and, you know, all this stuff. It depends on what we're expecting. If we're expecting God to just give us peace and calm and all that stuff and never have any problems in our life, we're going to be disappointed. And we're going to resent God when he doesn't do it. Because that's part of this world. We live in a fallen world. And things are going to go along, are going to be there. We have to go along. And one of the things that I came up with is realizing that when you enter into this new thing that God's doing, you can't stop. Or you mustn't quit. Because it's important. If God wouldn't have given it to you, God wouldn't call you. If God calls you to a position within the church or to a job, and you know that you're supposed to be working in the marketplace and you embrace it, expect conflict. Amen. Satan's going to throw everything he can at you. You know, we say, well, what's a new year? Well, yeah, just another time we just put on the calendar. It's really nothing new about it. It's just more time. It's the way we measure time. So we don't get to like erase the whole board and pretend it never happened before, because it did. But one of the things we have to do is we can't stop and we can't quit. We got to keep going in it and realize it. And sometimes you have to just say it. The other night I was going and it was like I looked at this and I thought, you can't stop and you can't quit. And it was like, okay, I'm not stopping. You can't make me quit. Do you believe that? Do you believe it in here? You can't stop me, Satan, because he's going to throw everything at you. You can't stop me. I'm not going to quit. And you know what? You can say that all the time, all many times as you want. If things run up against you and it looks like, you know, it's like, I'm not quitting. Do you know the difference between stopping and quitting? You stop something because you're tired of it. You're doing it, you get tired of it, so you stop. You go to the gym till you get tired of it, you stop. You quit because you're overwhelmed. It just seems like it's too much to handle. But continuing on is worth it. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. The end of it is better than the beginning. A baked cake is better than cake dough or other parts. You lay out the flour, the sugar, the grease, whatever you put in it, the eggs and all the stuff. That's all not well and good. And the chocolate, got to have chocolate. But till you take it all and you mix it together and you get to that end point where you've baked it, it's just all these pieces. And you take the flour and you put it in your mouth and it tastes like yucca. You know? Because the end is better than the beginning. And so we have to go continue on. How many of you ever made bread? Okay, what do you have to knead the bread, right? And you get tired of kneading the bread. And then you have to put it in the bowl, and you have to let it rise. And then you punch it down and knead it a little bit more and put it back in the bowl. And then you have to do the, you know, and you get tired of it. It takes a long process. You know, my mother used to bake bread on Thursdays. Because on Monday she did the washing, on Tuesday she ironed, on Wednesday she had to get together with her brother, with her sisters. And then on Thursday she baked bread, 9 loaves of bread, because we had 9 kids in the family. We ate a lot of bread because it was cheap. But you kept going. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary of doing good. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. If you stop halfway through, you just have dough. You just got to keep going. And Jesus said about us, he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Well, that's a good positive assertion. Anything we could do. He will do even greater things than these. Jesus says, you're going to do greater things than I have. How many of you are doing greater things? I'm doing some. But he says, you're going to do greater things than I have because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. We just sang a song about what? Your name has the power so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. How many of us ask? You know, one of the words that's in this, another translation says demand. Demand it. I was talking to God about that this morning. He says, you know, Lord, that just feels weird to come to you and say, I demand that you fix the foot. I mean, you're God. You're God. I demand it. Okay, I'm working on that one. It seems a little strange to me.
Scripture says come boldly to the throne.
Yeah.
Expectantly and boldly.
Expectantly and boldly, you know. And what it's saying is that it's in here. If I know that I can go expectantly and claim it, then it's going to happen. Because what does it say? If you don't doubt. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. But you got to hang in there. But, okay, are you going to lose your salvation? No. Salvation is for anybody who accepts Jesus Christ. And I've told you the story before about the son of Sam. How many of you know who the son of Sam is? Some of you older. Oh, some of the younger people even too. Okay, huh?
David Berkowitz.
David Berkowitz, yeah. And he was being told by a dog to kill people. And he was listening to the dog. He was convicted, went to prison for it. A little Hispanic guy kept following him around going, Jesus loves you and so do I. Jesus loves you and so do I. Jesus loves you and so do I. He was Jewish. But he listened, and the Holy Spirit got in there and changed him, and he accepted Jesus Christ. And he's in prison now, and he works in the prison ministry. He helps set up services. He even speaks sometimes in the services in the church. Jim Cimbala in the Chicago area got a letter one time asking him if he would come and see him. And he thought, well, he's going to, you know, talk to me and ask me to put in a good word to get out on the part, you know, early or whatever. So he went over and talked to him about ministry, and he said, no. He says, I don't want to get out. Can you imagine a prisoner saying that? No, I don't want to get out. This is my ministry. This is my calling. This is where I can help people. The Holy Spirit does great things in that life. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Be self-minded and clear so you can pray. How many times do we forget to pray? And that's one of the things I talked to the Lord about this morning. He says, Lord, I've been fretting and frowning and going on all week about what I'm going to talk about. What am I going to do? I've looked at this. I've looked at that. I've looked at this. Trying to do it on my own. And every time you enter into something without prayer, you're saying to God, God, I can handle this. I don't need you. Right? You're saying, I don't need you. What a lie. That's one of those things that Satan throws at you. I don't need you, that we do. I sat out in my car for 15 minutes this morning talking to God, saying, okay, I've been doing this stupid stuff all along, which I'm really good at. And I haven't talked to you about it. So I'm going to shut up and I'm going to listen. But another thing that happened this week is I listened to I go on the net and I listen to different people, preachers talk. And it was a guy who's in Arizona. And one of the things he was talking about, and my brain just went off to La La Land, but he was talking about how we don't pray. And why don't we pray? Because we think we can handle it. But there's always something to pray about and something to help out in that line. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always. Is it easy to be joyful always?
No.
Why not? What happened?
Life.
Things happen. I got a call from somebody this morning. They said, I was going to come to church today, but we've had 4 deaths that we know people in the last week. Family members and friends and people they know. They said, we're overwhelmed. And they had things that they were going to take care of. People were sick. They're not here today because they're sick. Be joyful always. Joyful is in here. It's not circumstances around us. We can be thankful and joyful that we have God and Jesus in our lives, no matter what's going on in that light. Pray continually. Do we pray continually? Is he saying here, stop everything you're doing and pray? No, it's not. Because that would be like we would have to go, Excuse me, like if we were talking about oxygen. We depend on oxygen. Our body does. Okay, so it'd be like we're going to say, okay, we're going to talk to you something, but first let me breathe. Okay, we can talk now. Oh, wait a minute, I got to breathe again. Our breathing just comes naturally. We don't have to stop and think about it. You don't have to tell your heart, pump, 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 pump. It comes naturally. It just takes place. You don't think about it. And so what he's saying here is, in this is, pray continually. You don't have to, I mean, I can be praying in my head right now while I'm talking. It's called multitasking. And you can be praying while you're doing it. You don't have to stop and think about it. You can have a prayer going on all the time. You can have it going on, okay. But we lack prayer. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. No matter what's going on and how bad it is, we all have something we can be thankful for in all circumstances. For it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. But we get out of the habit of praying. And one of the bad things that I have, I'm an addict. I watch news, television. I hate politics, but this year I've got sucked into it. It's like an accident going by on the street. You go by it and you have to look. You don't have to, but we do, you know. And so we have to watch the bad news. But if you want to have a personal, quiet time with God, you can't spend 3 hours watching the news or a movie or whatever along the line. And God was reminding me of this because I'm listening to this pastor speak, and he says, if you want a 4-hour quiet time with God, you just can't spend 3.5 hours watching the news. And then he proceeds to list off people that I watch on the news. And it was like, oh, way to make it personal. You know how to hit a person where it hurts. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, thank you. And so it's like, okay, I'm not promising anything, but I'm working on it. Because that's one of my distractions that hits, you know. Oh, it's 10 o'clock. It's time for Rachel. But our words are important. The things that we say. Daniel was a prophet. And you say, well, I'm not Daniel. Well, thank God. We already had a Daniel. But Daniel says, then he continued, do not be, this is an angel speaking to Daniel. Okay, he's been praying. Okay, and the angel says, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourselves before your God, your words were heard. From the first day when you started praying about it, your words were heard. I was griping about the government. Then it was like, well, why aren't you praying for them? Because I'd rather tell you what I think to do. Isn't that what we do? But here, Daniel's praying because of what's taking place, the oppression. And it says, first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourselves before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Here's the angel telling Daniel, I've heard your prayers, and I've come in response to your prayer. In other words, your words are important. I'm listening. I'm here because you prayed. That's affected my prayer life because I went, okay, I need to quit griping about what's going on and start praying about it. Because frankly, I can't do anything about it. And my griping doesn't change it at all. I just gripe and then I worry about it. But I now stop and pray about our state, our nation, and the world. You know, North Korea has been trying to make a move to talk to South Korea. It's like, okay, get them talking, quit bombing, you know, quit threatening. Okay, so we have. And so I have to look at myself and say, why? And then in James 5:16-18, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, that can be physical or emotional or whatever. A relationship can be healed. If you've got a spouse you're fighting with, you can pray for healing of a relationship, a friend, anything like that. It's not just physical healing. But it is also that. And healing works. I can testify to it. Why don't I do it better? Because I'm human. I'm human. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. Oh, you say, but I'm not a righteous man. Yes, you are. through Jesus Christ. Yeah, you are. Don't forget that you are. You are worthy. Some people would say, you're not worthy to take communion. You are, because of Jesus Christ. That's why we have communion, because Jesus gave it to us. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. He was an ordinary person. Ordinary person, okay? The disciples, when they were with Jesus, they said, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, which is really, really, really small. But we have to act on it. We have to pray. Sometimes I like to just get in my recliner and just zone out and just enjoy the presence of God. We don't talk. I try to remember, I heard somebody quote that one time, and it was like, they were talking about prayer, and somebody asked him, they said, well, what do you say when you pray? And he says, nothing. Well, what does God say? Nothing. We just listen. That's like, okay. So when's the best time to get a word for today? When's the best time to get a word for today? This morning? Anytime. But you know, you can also get a word for today yesterday. You can get a word for today yesterday. Paul, when he was on the shipwreck and the storm was going on, things were really bad and the ship was being tied and all this stuff was going on. And then Paul stopped and he said, but now I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. That's good comfort, huh? Last night, an angel of the God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood before me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who shall sail with you. So keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground. We must run aground on some island. Reality. We're going to run aground. Reality. We're all going to hit the water. God's reality. Nobody's going to be lost. Why? Because last night, God's angel stood before me and said, this is what's going to happen. God gives us those things. We have to listen to them. We have to listen for them. Because God's going to give us a word. Maybe it's focus. Maybe it's a whole long. And this is God's word. You want to know what to do for today? This is it. Do you want to have a 4-hour quiet time with God? I'm working on it. This is it. Part of my quiet time is in the car driving. Sometimes I need more, sometimes I need less. I'm a better listener than I am a reader. When I was in school, and I had to commute to California for classes and stuff, I loved it. That was my time to put in the song, sing my lungs out, because nobody could hear it and get upset and angry and say, shut up. And then I would pray and listen to the word. I do the same thing now. Since my operation for prostate cancer, I'm supposed to do some exercising, 25 minutes a day. So regularly, what do? I get in my car, I use my foot for exercise on the pedal and the brake, and I put my scriptures on, and I drive to IKEA, listening to scriptures, sometimes praying, sometimes a book. And I get up there, I have a $2 breakfast, I walk 3 laps around IKEA, 25 minutes. That puts me at the checkout, and if I haven't bought anything, I leave. I get me a yogurt, I leave, and then I listen to my scriptures coming back to home or here or whatever, because I listen better than I hear, than I read. But it's important. I mean, if you go to Ephesians 1, it says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing under heaven. Notice the word has. God has blessed us. God had chose to predestine us. Present tense. And you think, well, I'm not that perfect. Neither was Paul. In one scripture, Paul says, I am the worst sinner. Not was, I am, except for the grace of God. So things are going to happen. Is everything going to turn out perfect? You know, you're going to have no trouble at all? No. But we have each other. And that's why God put us together. That's part of the reason we meet together, is to encourage each other. I mean, that's hopefully what I've been doing this morning, is encouraging. Anybody depressed after what I talked about? No? Okay. Thank you, Lord. It worked. Because I'm in the back going, okay, God, it's you. Because I don't know what I'm going to say here. And I'm trusting you'll put the words in my mouth. But God is doing something new in your life. See what it is. Will you perceive it? Will you see what it is? And will you embrace it like a husband and wife embrace each other? Now, I want you to close your eyes. Take about a minute or so. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this message? What are you trying to tell me? Would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That you're always there, even when we're just ignoring you. You're always there trying to get our attention, trying to help us. And Lord, take that back. You don't try, you do. You help us in everything that goes on. You're ever present. Lord, help us to remember the power of Jesus' name in our lives. It's a strong, strong power, Lord, in our lives. Help us to be aware of it. And then, Lord, help us to know how to use your name the way you told us to in overcoming evil. Lord, help us unitedly to raise our voices in prayer for our nation, for our leaders to get their act together and start thinking of the welfare of your children over personal gain. So, Lord, I thank you for your trust. Because, Lord, you tell us to pray and you trust that we'll do it. Lord, help us walk in that trust and rejoice in you. And to pray always in Jesus' name, amen.